About 50% of Australians who experience blindness and severe vision loss do so because of a condition called age-related macular degeneration, AMD. It's a group of diseases affecting the retina at the back of the eye. Some people are able to have the progress to blindness slowed or halted by eye injections of a medication which stops blood vessels proliferating. The bill for taxpayers for this medication is going up by about 9% per year and amounts to nearly $700 million. Yet there is a safe, effective alternate medication which costs a fraction of the existing medication, yet isn't being used very much at all. Which is ironic, since the government has been suggesting that Medicare benefits might be reduced for this procedure, presumably to save money. An eye surgeon who's angry about this waste is Dr. Peter Hayworth, a consultant ophthalmologist in Western Australia, and a board member of Lishman Health Research, a not-for-profit focusing on improving the health of regional and remote Australians. And Peter recently published a paper arguing for change. Welcome to the Health Report, Peter.
Thank you.
This is a program full of Peters today. So the irony here is that both drugs have been manufactured by the same company, at least until recently.
Yeah, the first two were, and they, in fact, is a very interesting story because whilst the drug companies, the original drug was used for treating colorectal cancer, and as you say, it blocks.
It's called bevacizumab.
Yeah, Avastin's the trade name. And a very clever and enterprising ophthalmologist at the Bascom Palmer sort of saw that this was a good drug, and so he knew the drug companies were going to try and make it a bio better, sort of change the molecule so it's more specific. But in the meantime, his patients were going blind, so he went to his local ethics committee and got approval to start injecting the bevacizumab, the original parent molecule, into these patients. And while it took the time for all the other studies to go through the phases of study and investigation, he built large numbers. And now we've got a database of very large numbers of the cheaper drug, the bevacizumab, against the two drugs which have followed. And there have been two pivotal studies which have shown that they're not only both as effective in most, and I do hasten to add that it is most, and there are some caveats to that, cases, and that the safety profile is similar.
And the history is interesting here, is that despite the evidence that bevacizumab works, the manufacturer refused to do a trial of it in macular degeneration, and only did the trial on their new drug, which they could charge the higher price for.
Yeah, and that is, you know, that is the right of the company to seek profit. That is part of why business is there. But I think what has been a shame and is a fault in the system is that here we have a drug which has been used off-label, and that's where the whole problem comes.
Because it's not at a clinical trial proving that it works.
Exactly.
Because the drug company hasn't sponsored a trial.
Correct. And in fact, if you look at all the trials, the Cat and Ivan studies, those are publicly funded trials, which I think is a very important point of difference. Anyway, those studies, as I say, show no difference. And so it really is a problem. And actually, just to sort of give an example as well, everyone assumes that if you make the molecule better and tidier and cleaner, you're going to get a better product. But actually, there was recently another drug which was engineered as a bio better and ended up producing twice as much blindness as the former drugs. So it's not quite so simple. It's not a simple ride down the road. And the problem is that Avastin is now being withdrawn from the Australian market. So we're going to use another biosimilar for which there's much less data. And so we need to get around that. And I think we need to change, there needs healthcare reform, and we need to change the way we assess these drugs.
Now, this costs about a 20th. So essentially, you get the bevacizumab, and you dial UTIT down, and you give, you buy it in a job lot, and then you dilute it down. And give it, so it's a 30th.
Right.
So how much money would be saved if we transfer to this drug?
If you did it to all the cases, and that's a little bit Alice in Wonderland, but if you did it to all the cases, the drug bill would be 20 million instead of 700. And that's not realistic. I think a far more realistic approach is to do what countries like the Netherlands, Canada, New Zealand, Israel, Singapore have done, and that is to say that bevacizumab is the first-line drug. And so long as patients continue to do well on it, and the treatment intervals, these drugs have to be injected up to 8 times a year in age-related macular disease, sometimes more often, but so long as those intervals are acceptable, then you carry on with the cheaper drug. By all means, have a more expensive drug available when those drugs don't, perform as well. And that's what we do currently, even with the good drugs, about 5% of them don't work and you actually switch.
Now, whenever I've covered this story before, and whenever I've asked eye surgeons about this, they say, well, Well, first of all, it's neither here nor there for eye surgeons. You get paid to do the injection. The drug is paid for by the pharmaceutical benefit scheme with a contribution from the patient. But the eye surgeons say to me, well, you know, what's in it? Not so much what's in it for me, but why should I take the risk of an off-label drug when there's an approved one? It's the government's problem to actually save money.
Well, I agree it is the government's problem, but also I think we need to review our Hippocratic Oath, and that is that we aim to treat the patient as an individual, but also we aim to treat society as a whole. And if you deny society of 600, 500 odd million of dollars of your taxpayer money, that is denying people other eye treatments that are long waiting lists, for example, for cataracts, or other forms of technology in the country. We struggle to get patients with AMD seen. We struggle to buy the laser machines to scan their eyes.
Why doesn't the College of Ophthalmologists agitate for this? Because they don't seem to be.
I believe they have.
They have.
But I think you're dealing with a rather asymmetric situation in which Big Pharma has enormous lobbying power. In fact, in the United States, Big Pharma has more lobbying power than the top five other lobbyists. And it amounts to about $400,000 per senator. And so there's one area we're dealing with. The other area we're dealing with is that pharmaceutical companies own their own data. And we've always thought that what is published in peer-reviewed journals is utterly clean data. But you only have to look at some notorious scandals in the past to see that's not necessarily the case. And I think we need to have a referee here, like NICE, the National Institute of Clinical Excellence in the United Kingdom, and similar bodies in New Zealand and elsewhere, to
make a clinical recommendation that people can follow.
Well, to make a clinical recommendation.
Hard to do in the current situation. We did ask the federal government for a comment, and I don't think they understood the question because we're in an election. Thank you very much for your time, Peter.
Okay, many thanks.
Dr. Peter Hayworth is a consultant ophthalmologist in Western Australia. This has been The Health Report. I'm Norman Swan. See you next week.